Is this the place to be this morning? Good, good. Good to see everybody. Why don't we get in agreement before we get into the Word? How's that? Two of us agree, it'll be done. Is that right? Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your Son. We thank you, Father, for the gift of eternal life. Thank you that we're born of you. You've accepted us into your family, made us your own. Thank you, Father God, that you have sent your Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us, and that he's our teacher, our guide, our helper, our strengthener. He unveils and unfolds the Word to our spirits. And Father God, we've come this morning to receive and to hear, and not just to hear, but to do and practice the Word of God. And we ask you for utterance in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the anointing that gives us revelation and spirit of seeing and knowing. And we thank you for a divine flow of your Spirit. And we'll give you praise and glory. Thank you, Father, that each of these hearts are an open heart and each mind is a listening, an open mind, an ear, a listening ear. We thank you, Father God, that each one of these will receive what you need them to receive this morning. And we'll give you all the praise, Father. There is no one else worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we make a good confession? Say, I will receive from heaven this morning the manna that I need. Thank you, Father. I have an open heart. Thank you, Father, for truth deposits and impartations of truth. Not just head knowledge, but impartations into my spirit. I'll give you all the glory. I'll not leave here the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, glory to God. You may be seated. It's good to be back. I'd rather be here than the best jail in town. Don't know about you. Praise the Lord. I always enjoy coming and ministering to you. You're always so hungry. And we thank God for you. Thank God for what he's got planned for you and the future. We're family. I take you as family. Amen. Count you as part of the body of Christ that God's divinely connected us together in. Hallelujah. He put us in the body as it pleased him. And I guess it pleased him that I be around you and you be around me, I guess. So we're just going to have to treat one another real good and get along and help one another, bless one another. Amen. I want to kind of switch gears this morning and get into what really I came with, what I came on with on my heart. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll start here. And where we end up, yea, no man knoweth. So we have some things here we want to talk about. One of my assignments in the body of Christ, according to the Lord, is that we help people to walk in the spirit of faith. Our church is named Spirit of Faith Family Church, and that's not by coincidence. That's something that God's really put on our hearts. A lot of Christians have heard this term, but maybe not that familiar with what it all means. I'm sure you have more knowledge, of course. But these things are very, very important in this last day. In this day that we're living in, these things are, the message of faith is not necessarily, I guess you could say it's somewhat being lost, but the spirit of faith in a lot of places is almost gone. And if you don't know the difference, just hang around for 3 hours here and we'll get you a little understanding of what we're talking about. The Lord's really dealt with me minister on this subject. And every time I do, there's a different flow to the Spirit. And so we're going to get into this morning. You know, when it says, did I tell you to go to 2 Corinthians? But I'm going to, just while you're turning there, I'm going to refer to Jude 1:3. You're familiar with Jude 1:3, I think, because when I quote it, at least you'll remember it. It says that we're to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. Now, that just tells you that it will slip if you don't. I remember Brother Hagin telling a story one time. Maybe Dean Graves can, Miss Janine can then help me make it, I think it's pretty accurate here. But he said one time he was at a church, he said the meeting just wasn't going very well. And he said, the pastor said to him one day after one of the services or something, he said, well, I remember the day whenever you'd just say it, say, the meeting's on, and then he said, the meeting be on. And he said, you're not like that this time. And he said, you know what, you're right. And he got it right. He said, I don't know if he said it there, or he went back to the hotel, said, the meeting's on, and sure enough, the power of God started flowing, and they started having a meeting. You know, it's so easy to just, have you ever heard that story? It's pretty accurate. The best of us, and whoever that is, I don't really care, but the best of us, can slip. We can sort of, you know, we're going to talk about here this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:13, and it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. So he says that the spirit of faith believes and speaks. So you could say the spirit of faith is an active faith. It's not just a faith that we have in our heart. The Bible said, with the heart man believes, doesn't it? And this verse talks about, you know, we believe in our heart. And of course, understood part of this verse is in our heart. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, don't be removed, be a cast into the sea, don't doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he saith. Don't doubt in his heart, but believes in his heart. In other words, believes in his heart. So we believe in our heart, and that's part of it. But the spirit of faith, without an expression, we don't have a spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is a faith that's acted on. It's a faith that is bold. It's a faith that has caught fire. It's a faith means that you haven't just got a hold of the word, it's the word has gotten a hold of you. If I could say it that way. You're no longer just parroting and repeating phrases that somebody said. I mean, something got on the inside of you. It just won't let you take no for an answer. It just won't let you, you know, accept defeat. Amen. I flew here Sunday. Saturday, sometime in the day, I guess it was Saturday, a pain just started in my wrist here. And I didn't think much about it. You know, I thought maybe Maybe I picked something up wrong or something. I went to bed Saturday night, woke up, and it was worse. You know, and I had to get ready for service, and I was flying Sunday, and I had a lot of things to do. So I just said, well, thank God I'm healed, and, you know, went on, didn't hardly give it a thought. Got out here, and it got worse. Yesterday, it was real bad. Finally, this morning, I woke up, and I said, that's it! You know what I'm talking about? I said, Jesus said, dry up from the roots. I said, I know where you're coming from. You're coming up here and you go down there. I said, now you dry up from the root. And I just started acting like it didn't hurt anymore. And it's begun to fade away in the last 2 hours. Just started fading away. It's like, well, why didn't I do that Saturday morning, you know? But see, that's the spirit of faith. I believed in my heart the whole time I was healed. He even said it one time just kind of, you know, without thinking about what I was talking about. Just almost a habit, you know. But you know, I just had to reach down on the inside and grab a hold of what's down there and pulled it out. And so the spirit of faith, notice he said here, we believe and therefore we speak. So we're going to take some time and look at this. We see that it's not just something we have in our hearts. That it is something that is spoken. It's something, I like to say it this way, it's something that's acted upon. And speaking is one of the first actions, we understand. There's other things. How many of you know you can speak with a depressed tone of voice and it's not a spirit of faith? Oh, I believe I'm healed, you know. Well, you got the principles, but you don't have the spirit of it. Now you can go to let's go to Romans, the third chapter. Romans, the third chapter, tells us here about faith. It says something about faith. Romans, the third chapter. Let's just read verse 27. Well, let's go back, verse 26. To declare, I say this time, his righteousness. Aren't you glad that you're his righteousness, not your own? That he might be just or righteous, and the justifier or the righteousness, same Greek word, of him which believeth in Jesus. He's our righteousness. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. He answers his own question. It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Notice that term, the law of faith. You know, in the Bible, when it comes to talking about Bible faith, the subject of Bible faith, there are the principles of faith. There's, and you could say the law of faith. That's another way of saying the principles of faith. And then there's the word of faith, and there's the spirit of faith. The Bible uses all three of those terms. This law, the law of faith, is not a law like the law of Moses or something. That's not what he's saying. But it's a law like the law of gravity or something like a law of physics or something. It's a principle, like physics has laws to it. Gravity, you know, is one of them. It's a principle of nature that is in force at all the time, and all of us are subject to it, you know. But because gravity keeps us all on the ground and all that. But so that's there's laws in the spirit realm, but I mean in the physical realm, but in the spirit realm, there are laws just like there are in the physical realm. And he said here, there's more than this one, but he said here, one of them's the law of faith. It's a spiritual law. I mean, it's affecting everyone on this planet right now. Everybody, even people that aren't saved. It's a spiritual law. Just like gravity is affecting everybody on the planet. Faith, the law of faith is affecting everybody on the planet. I remember some of you might have heard Brother Hagin tell the story about a man that I think the family knew Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin knew the family a little bit. And the family asked them to come lay hands on their son. He was in the hospital, really in a coma. And the doctors weren't given a good prognosis. So Brother Hagin went in, laid his hands on the man, and began to pray. And the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, spiritual laws have been set in motion and cannot be reversed at this time. He said, then the Lord said, release his spirit and let him come on home. Well, Brother Hagin didn't know at the time what that meant. He understood spiritual laws, but he didn't know what the Spirit was referring to in that case. Spiritual laws have been set in motion and cannot be reversed at this time. He just obeyed the Spirit. Within, what was it, 3 days or so, the man died. I don't remember all the details. But at the funeral, somebody, if I heard the story right, one of the family members or something, and said, because I think eventually the family found out about what the Spirit said to Brother Hagin, or Brother Hagin told him or something. But the family said, well, do you know what that is, what the Lord was referring to? I don't think Brother Hagin knew, but the family said, well, I think he was 39 when he died. They said whenever he was young, they said he began to say, he'd be playing and everything, and he began to say, well, and he'd stop, and he'd sort of, you know, act like, you know, a thought came to him or something. He said, you know, I'll never live past the age of 39, or I'll never live to 40 or something of that nature. Just started saying that. And so he would do that and said that all those years up until he was 39. He was 39, went into a coma and died. Amen. Well, somebody said, well, why didn't God heal him? God didn't have a thing to do it. He did that. That's the law. You know, if we jump off, if I get up on a 4-story building and jump off, I'm going to go down. If an unsaved man gets up on a 4-story building and jumps off, he's going down. You know what I'm talking about? If a man with an education jumps off, he's going down. If a man that understands how to fly with an airplane gets up and jumps off, he's going down. Doesn't matter what color he is, doesn't matter how old, how young, it's a spiritual law. I mean, it's a natural law, in that case, natural law. Well, same thing with spiritual things. Now, I met that man's brother. Actually, he's a pastor. I think he's still there in Illinois where we preach. And so we preached for this man's brother, the man that died, that I just referred to. We were, and I talked to him about that man, his brother, and was talking to him about what did he said? Yeah, we'd just be playing, we'd be out there, and he just stopped. He looked like something arrested him, and he'd say that. And I got to thinking about it. I thought, probably, just like Satan comes to all of us, puts thoughts in our mind. You know, you've had it happen. We've all had it happen. He probably, that's all that was, just Satan coming and suggesting something to his mind. He stopped and he said it. He started agreeing with it. You know, because Satan says it doesn't mean that you've set it in motion. Jesus didn't say you'll have what Satan says. He said you'll have what you say. So the thought can come, and the thought might persist, but the thought unspoken dies unborn. Don't say it. Find out what God said and say it. In fact, answer what the enemy says and declare what God says, and that's a spirit of faith. Amen. But just believing it is not good enough. We all have a certain level of degree of belief along certain lines. But that's the Bible never did say. You never find in the Bible anywhere, you'll have it if you believe it. Right. Never did say that. Never said it. It said, you'll have what you say. Yeah. It said, I'll have what I say. Yeah. Well, I just don't feel like it's working. It's working anyway. You'll have what you say if you believe it. Yeah. And believing's not a feeling. Right. People are waiting on the feeling of faith or the emotion of faith before they'll agree with God that they have faith. Bible said he's dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. Yeah. Well, we have it then. Yeah. Amen. Faith is just if you look up the word faith, it means a persuasion. It means a conviction. It means something you're sure of, you're certain of. We could go spend a lot of time on that. But if you're persuaded of something from the Word of God and you say it, that's working for you, whether you feel like it or not. Don't wait for a feeling that you have faith to believe that you have faith. Amen. So, but just like the devil comes to all of us, I'm sure he said something to you at one time or another, or maybe tries to persist for a season. You just have to answer that and not agree with it. Give the devil God's answer. So when we do that, that's called a spirit of faith. And if he persists, we persist. David and Goliath, David, the Bible said, in fact, Paul said here, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. Do you know he's quoting David in Psalm 18, 28 through 29. He's quoting David. In other words, he said, we got the same spirit of faith David had. And we see David's spirit of faith on a number of occasions. One was Goliath, when he took down Goliath. That Goliath, you know, threatened. Remember, he was out there for 40 days, threatening and telling everybody what he's going to do to him. Send a man out and fight me, and whoever wins, you know, we'll take you as subjects, you know. Well, David, he heard that, and the Bible said he had been practicing his faith. He killed the lion and the bear. You know, faith doesn't. People that have a spirit of faith, they don't let the devil come and steal, kill, and destroy. Just practice on the little things. Like I was talking about, little pains and stuff. Just practice on them. Just use faith on the little things. That's what David did. He practiced on the lion and the bear. He's probably out there. The Bible talked about him being a meditator, Psalm 1, meditating on the word, you know, day and night. He'll be like a tree. David wrote that. He was used to doing that. He's sitting out there watching the sheep. I mean, there's a lot of time on your hands. All you can do is sit there and watch. So he's meditating on the scriptures. He's meditating in his covenant. He found out he's got rights to covenant prosperity and so forth. And when the lion or bear came after his sheep, that's prosperity that he's coming after. And so he went after that. I mean, with his own bare hands, the way he said. Took it down. Praise God. Amen. You hear that story? I think it was out here in California. A while back, a guy did that. Was it a cougar? Came after him and he got the thing around the neck, choked the thing off. I thought that's the way David did it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Just don't. And so when the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the spirit of faith rises up and defies it and rejects it and said, not here, not now, not on my watch. Hallelujah. And it gets an attitude. I'll be honest with you. The spirit of faith has an attitude. it's the kind of attitude that makes you say something. Whenever the devil's going blowing his big mouth and talking big, saying like that man probably had that thought come to him, you're never going to live past the age of 40. You answer, you get loud. You say, Mr. Devil, I want to tell you something. Brother Hagin had it whenever he was 16, 17 years old, and that thought came to him. You remember he was running his references on divine healing, and with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. Because the devil had said that he was going to die now. Your life is but a vapor. Remember that voice came to him. It appears for a little time and then it fades away, because he had been healed. But then the devil said, yeah, but your life is a vapor, and it's just appeared for a little time and then it vanishes away. Remember that deep voice that came to him? He thought God was in the room. He was so reverent of that. And then he said, up out of his spirit came that still small voice, said, with long life I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. And Brother Hagin, I think he said he turned it over a time or so, and then it left, and then he said, with long life, I don't remember all the details. And then he said, who said that? He's trying to, where'd that come from? He said, the voice said Psalm 91. He'd never read that. He went over there and found it, sure enough. Do you know God knows what he said? And he said, he started running his references and found out healings for, long lives for us, healings for us, Went over to Ephesians, if I remember right, honor your mother and father, and long life, you'll have long life and all this thing. And he said, wait a minute, he said, that was the devil talking to me. Yeah. With, your life is but a vapor and so forth. And so he got up and he said, I'm not going to die this week. I'm not going to die this month. I'm not going to die this year. I'm not going to die the next 10 years. I'm not going to die. And he got all the way up to 40 or whatever he got up to. Later he extended that. Amen. What is that? That's the spirit of faith. It's the spirit of faith. It defies what the enemy saith. Hallelujah. And you don't have it unless you're saying something. Whenever Goliath said to David, remember, he said, I'm going to feed you to the birds and so forth. And David said, you're an uncircumcised Philistine. He said, you defied the armies of the living God, and I'm going to take your head off of you today. And he, in other words, he had this spirit of faith where he believed something and then he spoke it. In defiance of what the enemy said. Hallelujah. The spirit of faith. If you're going to maintain a spirit of faith, you have to keep your speaker hooked up to your believer. Because it's easy to get your speaker hooked up to your circumstances. And when I say speaker, this is your speaker right here. You got to pull the wires of your speaker off of the circumstances and talking about them, and get the wires of your speaker hooked up to your faith down here in your spirit. And you draw out of here and you speak what's in your spirit, because what you believe. And you might feel lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut when you say it. Now that's just good Midwestern talk. You don't know what that means. That means you're low. You're down. But he didn't say you'll have what you say if you feel like what you say is coming to pass. When I spoke to that pain this morning, I just didn't feel anything. Except, defiance on the inside of me. And it works. So you get your speaker. Keep your speaker hooked up to your believer. Even whenever your mind wants to say something else, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're going to dig around in this subject a little bit, if you can handle it. If you can't, then get ready quick and learn to handle it. Praise God. So the spirit of faith is a very active faith. Paul here, he said, we having. So Paul had it. Amen. Actually, this is the kind of faith that's in the spirit of every man. But I'm talking about every man that's born again when we were dealt the measure of faith. This is the kind of faith that's on the inside of us, but not every man is acting on it. Not every man is feeding it. Not every person that has faith is feeding it. And so Paul said he had it, and he said that his was like David in the Old Testament, and he killed Goliath and so forth. If you read there in Psalm, like I said, Psalm 18, verse 28 through 29, David said, "We believe, and therefore have we spoken." He was talking about, if you read that passage, an affliction he was in. He was talking about, he spoke what he believed in the middle of affliction, there in Psalm 18. Let's go back to Psalm 27. You'll notice another verse that's not exactly, doesn't exactly say the same thing, but it's the same spirit. We'll look at verse number 13. This is a psalm of David also. You can read there in the first part of the psalm of David. And he said in verse 13, Psalm 27, 13, "I had fainted," or "I would have fainted." The Amplified says, "What would have become of me if, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living?" Psalm 27, verse 13. Notice he didn't say, "If I would have fainted if I hadn't seen." He said, "I had to believe to see this." In other words, I had to exercise faith to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he said, if I hadn't, what would have become of me? I mean, think about Goliath. What would have become of him if he hadn't believed and spoken so that he could see something? A lot of times people are waiting to see to believe. David said, "I had to believe to see." Sight, when it comes to walking with God and walking by faith, sight always trails or follows faith. Faith always precedes sight. It's like faith is sight's prelude. You ever seen old movies and a king's going to come out and they send out people with trumpets, you know, and there's going to be a king come out somewhere. Well, that's when you start exercising faith, that's the prelude to the power of God coming on the scene and creating what you're saying. And in the spirit realm, there's a dun 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 dun. Here comes sight. People want to get it in reverse. But he said, "I had to believe to see." Amen. Oh, it's just a wonderful way to live. The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The land of the living's down here in this life. Down here in this life. We were just talking, Brother Dean Graves was, and I were back in the back room talking about a minister that got attacked, and he's a man of faith, and he kicked that off of him. Amen. So he did it by faith. Well, that's just the way all of us are going to have to live. I'll be honest with you. The Lord said this to me one time. I don't know. Anyway, it's really true about all of us if you think about it. He said, without maintaining a spirit of faith, he said, you'll die. He said to me one time, he said, regarding some of these things, he said, now you got the word. I was telling Dean Graves about this. He said, this is, I don't know, quite a number of years ago. He said, now you got the word into you. And that's what gives you this spirit of faith, by the way, getting the word on the inside of you. And it just rises up in you and just won't take no for an answer. And then you act on that. But the Lord said to me one time, he said, now you got the word on the inside of you. He said, the end of your life is going to be different than it would have been. I'm like, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord knows that word will produce, and he knows I'll keep acting on it. Praise the Lord. So David said, he believed and then he spoke. And whenever we act on these things, David didn't just speak, he ran towards Goliath. That's a man with an attitude. That's just not sitting back in the trenches. I believe I receive his head off. I believe I receive his head off. That's Let me illustrate it this way. It's a little like, you know, you can, because faith's confessions, sometimes faith's confessions are not enough. Let me illustrate this way. David's case, it wasn't enough. He had to go after it. It's a little like this. I could say, because I noticed I had to let out a pair of britches the other day because I noticed I'm putting on a little bit of weight. And so I could say, well, Bible says I can have what I say. So I got a, that's called an elliptical machine there in where we live. And I could say, well, I believe in the name of Jesus that if I get on that elliptical machine, I'll lose weight. You know that won't work? Yes. Sitting on the couch saying that? That won't work? It was funny, leading laugh. Amen. That's true. Amen. I mean, I can make a confession all day long and that won't work. I got to get on the elliptical machine and I got to do something more than just say it. And that's what David did. He believed and he spoke, but then he ran towards the Goliath. Just defying everything he said. He said he was going to take his head off, and he did. You ever notice, that if you read the whole story, he went up there and cut his head off. And the Bible said he took his head, and he went back to Jerusalem with his head in his hands. I was reading that one day, and it dawned on me, that's how you get ahead in life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now tell your neighbor you can get ahead in life if you want, if you believe and say it. Amen. But see, when David was fighting that good fight of faith, see, it wasn't just a fight of man to man. It was a fight of faith because Goliath said something and then David said something. And then Goliath said something. If you read the story, then David said something. It was a war of words. And if you don't win the war of words, you won't win any wars in the natural realm. When the devil kept talking, David kept talking. David said, I'm going to have the final word. I'm going to have the last word here. And he said the last thing he said and ran toward Goliath, took his head off, and then Goliath didn't say anything else. That's all he had to say. Hallelujah. But see, what I'm telling you is everything you can see in that account, everything, there's an attitude throughout the whole thing. Just him answering, because the other guys were sitting back in the trenches. They weren't answering what Goliath said. David answered it. But then him running toward it, that's an attitude. Then him taking his head off and carrying it back to Jerusalem, that's an attitude. And that's the spirit of faith. Now, faith is of the heart. The Bible said so. With the heart, man believeth. But this is what we've got to understand. The Lord said this to me. He said, faith is of the heart. But he said, it's like smoke. He said, it'll get in the fabric of everything in your life. You ever been in a house where there was like a kitchen fire or something? You know, something on the stove caught fire and you know just caught and blew up or whatever. And there was a lot of fire and smoke and so forth. Well, maybe they got it out or you got it out or something. And it didn't burn the house down, but it you know, charred the kitchen up a little bit and all of that. You ever, if you've ever been in a house like that, you can go upstairs where the drapes are and smell the drapes. And that smoke was up there and it got in the drapes. And that's what the Lord was saying to me when he said faith is like smoke. It just gets, it's of the heart, but it's like smoke. It gets in the fabric of everything. It gets in your countenance. It gets in your mouth. It gets in your attitude. It causes you to have joy and peace. It just gets in everything. It just gets in your attitude. Hallelujah. So we've got to understand, I think, the spirit of faith, because this is what. And the Lord said this to me one time, I could tell a lot more about my assignment, but I'll get into that sometime later maybe. But he said to me one time, he said, when it comes to the things of faith, he said, the spirit of faith is the first thing that slips. When it comes to these things slipping. You ever notice whenever people start backing away from the message of faith, the first thing that goes is their boldness? They no longer boldly declare it to you. Now they want to watch and see what's going to happen. Now I'll say something afterwards, you know. That bold declaration, that attitude, that spirit of faith is what starts slipping. Well, let's not let it slip. What do you say? David, now let's go here to 2 Corinthians again. You'll see this. The more we point this out in the Word, the more we'll see it. 2 Corinthians 4 again, verse number 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, that I have believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, that's kind of starting to read there. It's kind of jumping in the middle of a sentence that we need to back up and see what he's saying. Let's go back to verse 8. Paul said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He said, we're perplexed, but not in despair. You might want to circle yet and might want to circle but. Then he said, verse number 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair. And then he said, persecuted, but not forsaken. Circle that but there. Cast down, but not destroyed. Circle that but. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. In other words, Satan's always coming after us, trying to knock us out. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That's a good verse right there. Whenever the devil's trying to, you know, strip the life out of you, the life of God in you will just keep rising up in you if you speak it with the spirit of faith. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore spoke. He's verse 13 is in the context of verses 8 through 12. Verses 8 through 12, he talks about everything that was coming against him. But he said, but, and he always answered it. He wouldn't let it inside of him. You know, it's one thing to have things going on outside of your life, but it's another thing for that to get on the inside of you. That's when you're whipped. When it gets in you and robs you of an active, bold declaration of faith, now you're whooped. So he said, these things happen. You know, faith doesn't mean you don't have anything come against you in life. Sometimes people get the wrong idea. Well, if I had faith, this wouldn't be coming against my life. No, that faith doesn't mean tests and trials don't come. Dear Lord, if that's true, Paul failed miserably. No, that doesn't. It's not what faith means or having faith means. Jesus had things come against him. So but here's what he's talking about. We always, according to what verse 13 says, he's saying we always answer with the test or trial or trouble or whatever comes against us, persecution, we always answer it with the declaration of what we have faith for. We are always speaking what we believe. Amen. And what that does, according to verses 8 through 11 there, or verses 8 and 9 mainly, what it does is it keeps you on the right side of the butt. People that don't have a spirit of faith, they say, well, I know the word says, but, you know, they talk about their circumstances and their hooga-mooga, like Dr. Dufresne said. That's not a spirit of faith. They might know what the truth is. They might believe it. But they're not exercising a spirit of faith. You got to watch your butt. Which side of butt are you on? I'm telling you, it's a big deal. I mean, I've been preaching faith in my church now for, 17 years, I believe. We're celebrating our 20-year anniversary because the church was started before I got there. But after 17 years, still sometimes, if I greet people at the back door, I'm thinking of this one lady particularly. Bless her darling heart. She keeps coming through, well, you pray for me, you know, this is going on and this is going on and, you know, and all that. And I'm thinking, I just take her hand and say, have a good week. You know, I'm not going to pray for that. Prayer won't fix some things. What? No, I don't know about that. You ever notice that there's some things you don't pray about? There's some things you just make your declaration and say it? Mark 11:24 is prayer, but 23, prayer is not mentioned. We're not talking to God in Mark 11:23. We're talking to the mountain in Mark 11:23. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we having this same spirit of faith. So what he's talking about is not being on the negative side of everything. Now I know there's people that because when we say that, talk about a attitude or not being negative, I know there are people that get confused about what we're saying, and they think that faith is just a positive mental attitude. It is not. It is not. And we're going to spend a little time on that so we don't get this confused. Because the world out there, they want to just say, well, that's how we succeed with a positive mental attitude. The problem with just a positive mental attitude is it has no divine spark in it. Yeah. It has nothing from the power of God in it. Yeah. Just a positive mental attitude will help you all right. Yeah. I mean, it's better than being all down all the time. But when it comes to a positive mental attitude, there's nothing spiritual involved in that. That's just mental. What we're talking about doesn't originate in the psyche of man. It originates in the spirit of a man. And it's a fire that is lit in the spirit of man by the word of God coming alive on the inside of him and causing that to rise up, that word to rise up out of man's spirit and won't accept defeat for an answer. And it's much deeper, much stronger than just a positive mental attitude. It'll get in your attitude all right. But the attitude's not the source of it. It's not just saying, well, let's just be positive about this. Well, is there any divine spark that causes you? What does the Word of God tell you about that situation? Amen. We've got to understand this. Because, to be honest with you, there's groups that are just sort of taking ministry is not supposed to be just mental or ministering to man's psyche. It's supposed to impart something to a man's spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, let me go to a verse that I was going to wait on this, but go over to the book of Psalms. Psalm 18, verses 28 and 29. You know, actually, I gave you the wrong verse about where he was quoting David. I gave you, I think that's another psalm, and I don't even have that in front of me. Psalm 18 is the verse I want to go to right now. And we'll get a little more understanding about this. The Lord showed me this, and I thought, oh, my goodness. It's been right there the whole time. Psalm 18, verses 28 and 29. The psalmist David said this. It's not looking right here. 28. Okay, here we go. He said, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. By thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Now there's a song that says something about that. I don't think the song knows anything about what David's talking about. Notice he said in verse 28, before he said anything in verse 29 about leaping over a wall, he said, thou wilt light my candle, O Lord. Thou wilt lighten my darkness. Now, do you know that Proverbs 5, is it, I believe, or is it Proverbs 20, verse number 5, I believe? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Searching all the inner parts of the belly. So the candle of the Lord is the spirit of man. Now, you come over to Jesus in the fifth chapter of Mark, and he talks about, does any man light a candle to put it under a bushel? Remember he said that? In other words, a candle in that day was what we use today light bulbs for. They would set a candle in a room to light up a room. And so what he's talking about, being that the Bible definition of the candle of the Lord is the spirit of man, Jesus is saying, do I light your candle? Do I illuminate your spirit with my word just so you can put it out with the bushel basket of reasoning with your head? So when David said here, thou wilt light my candle, O Lord, he's talking about the revelation of the word of God coming into his spirit, which puts something on the inside of him that lights a fire on the inside of him. That's what a candle is. It's a fire. It's light, but it's fire. And he said, whenever the word of God is revealed to me and comes alive to me through meditating on it, like he talked about in Psalm 1 and many different places, David was a meditator. He would meditate on God's word and it would come alive to him. And he said, when that happens, it lights my candle. There's a fire that gets lit on the inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember the book of Jeremiah and chapter number 20, verse number 9. Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. He says, he talks about, I'm going to go read it. Maybe you want to turn to it or just at least put it down in your notes. Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. He said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Notice the word was in there like that. The word is like a fire. The word will light a fire on the inside of you. His word as a burning fire shut up in my bones. His word in his heart was like a fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. And so the word of God will light a fire in your spirit. Many people are trying to process the word mentally. It's not made to process mentally. It's made to land in a man's spirit and illuminate his spirit and set his spirit on fire. Change him from the inside out. The book of Romans talks about it in the 12th chapter. You can just write this down. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I'll just give you the reference. Romans chapter number 12, it says in verse number, look at verse number 11. It talks about being fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's not just something we work up emotionally. That's something that's a fire lit in the spirit of man. In other words, many translations say, maintain the fire or the flame of the spirit on the inside of you. Well, the word is what he said in Jeremiah that feeds that fire. When it comes to the principles of faith, that's like the wood and the kindling and stuff like that. But when it comes to the spirit of faith, that's the fire that hits it. And when the fire hits the word, it's as if there's a fire gets lit on the inside of you. And David described that back here in Psalms, back now in Psalm chapter 18. He said in verse 28, thou wilt light my candle, O Lord, thou wilt enlighten my darkness. And then he said, whenever that happens, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. In other words, what used to limit me, I could no longer prevail. I now can prevail over it. Not because of a positive mental attitude, but because a fire came into my spirit. The word of God lit a fire on the inside of me, and that was the ability. Now, that wall is a limitation. That wall is something that can limit a person from going any further. But he said, whenever that fire hits the fire of the word lights fire on the inside of me, he said, it's like I can get past limitations. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many of you want to get out and get some and see some new scenery you haven't been seeing for a while? Yeah. It's this word that gets into your spirit and lights a fire of faith on the inside of you that you start acting on that makes you get past limitations you've been limited by. Amen. I heard one minister one time, he said, I've been to several churches that I would call the first church of the flat faces. He said, they ran at the wall and hit it and didn't get over it. He said, they got limitations everywhere. You know, that we can't grow a church here. There's big devils in our town, big, and all these limitations. He said, they're the first church of the flat faces. They run at the wall and they hit it and get a flat face. They need to catch fire with the Spirit of God and the Word of God on the inside of them. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! And so what that fire does is it gets all over everything. It lights up in your spirit, but it gets in your attitude, it gets in your countenance, it gets in your joy level, it gets in your peace level. And if you will yield to that and express it, you'll get past some limitations. Hallelujah. So he can do the impossible. And so when the Word of God... The Word of God is not just so you can know it. It's supposed to be like a fire. If it doesn't change your demeanor, I don't think there's much fire in there. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't want to be stuck behind limitations and get to heaven and find out what I should have had down here in this life. Hallelujah. 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 So the revelation of the Spirit is what does that. The word of faith will light a fire within you that consumes you. It'll burn in your heart, enable you to overcome in every area. It'll even get you past these barriers. It'll actually get you outside of your comfort zone. I love it. I love it. I love it. And what was impossible becomes possible. It'll actually turn you into another man. I used to be kind of backwards and timid and, I just kind of introverted. But this word changed me. Turned me into another man. Hallelujah. Well, the source of this is divine revelation. The Bible says in Matthew 16:17, Jesus actually said it, that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What is that rock? It was just, remember, Jesus had asked, who do men say that I am? They said, who men said that he was. And then, who do you say that I am? They said, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not, what? Revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, you can interpret that a couple different ways. Revelation of who Jesus is. Or the confession of Jesus and who he is. But however you want to say it, upon this rock, I will build my church. He's talking about revelation of who Jesus is and saying it. Or confessing him. That's how I'm going to build my church. And notice he said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell. So the source of this divine... The source of this fire is divine revelation. People have head knowledge of things, but it's not a revelation that is on fire on the inside of them. And so they're going through the principles of faith, but they have no fire, and it's not a spirit of faith. It hasn't produced the attitude that God's word really should be producing on the inside of them. Really, revelation, if it's okay, I'm going to take some more time here, and we'll take a break at a little later moment. Revelation of the Word has a particular divine influence upon our spirits that inspires certain characteristics and produces a certain demeanor. It's an attitude that agrees with the God kind of faith, among which is boldness, joy, peace, as well as a victory in that the victory is already mine and the devil is a liar. It produces an attitude on the inside of us that says the devil is a liar, that what I'm seeing is a lie, God's word is truth, and no matter whose mouth the devil's using, it's a lie. I will not accept early death or whatever. I will not accept this poverty anymore in my life. It's a lie. Amen. Hallelujah. The principles of faith can be taught, But the spirit of faith is caught.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. You got to hang around people that have the spirit of faith. Because it's contagious.
Yes.
You notice how Paul said it in 2 Corinthians? He said, we having, he wrote to the church of Corinth, we having, we all have it.
Yes.
We all have it. I went to my, this was way back, probably 15 years ago, more than that maybe, probably longer than that, maybe 20 years ago. We went home to my family. My family's all born again, but they don't necessarily have a revelation of the word of faith and so forth. But I remember going home, it was over Christmas time, my wife and I, we stayed at my parents' home, but I called my brother and I said, we're here, we're going to come down and see you. Oh, don't come see us. We all have the flu. I said, well, I haven't seen you for 2 years. I'm coming down. We're coming down. No, we all have the flu. Don't come down here. You don't want to hug us. You don't want to touch us. We all got the flu. I said, I'm coming to see you. And so they argued and argued. And then we got to the door. Oh, don't hug us. We all got the flu. The girls are upstairs. They got the flu. They're in bed. We all sniffling. I said, that's your flu, not my flu.
Yeah. Amen.
I messed with them a little bit. But that's, see, what they were saying was, this flu is contagious.
Yeah.
Well, spiritual things are contagious. Amen. And Paul said, you all, he's talking to the church of Corinth, he said, y'all are hanging around me. And he said, what was on me got on you. We all have this same spirit of faith. We caught it from one another. I'm telling you, you can learn the principles in settings where you're taught the word, but hanging around people and watching with people with a spirit of faith, how they, the grunt that they respond to things with, it'll impart something into you. You can't impart faith to people, but you can impart an attitude. You sure can. By hanging around people with an attitude, something makes you go, well, bless God in the name of Jesus. Why am I putting up with this? You sure can. Yeah, somebody said, why do you act that way? I've been hanging around, you know, ministries like Brother Hagin's ministry, the Dufresne ministries. That's why I get that look on my face sometimes. I'm just not taking no for an answer. I caught it. Been hanging around people with the spirit of faith. It's contagious. You ought to read there in Acts chapter number 4. It talks about, I'm looking for the verse number. I don't see the verse number there, but you remember, I'll turn and I'll give you that while I'm talking. But you remember that Peter and John were on trial, and they waxed real bold and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Remember that? And then it says in verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were ignorant and unlearned men. They took knowledge of them, they had been with Jesus. Oh, they caught something from Jesus. What? There was a boldness that made them talk like that, that they said, wait a minute. That reminds me of somebody else we met one day, and his name was Jesus. They caught it. They hung close and caught it. It's contagious. Spiritual things are contagious. Fear is contagious. You hang around people that are all afraid all the time and something goes bump in the night and you'll go, yeah, it's just, but it's just because people you've been hanging around. I remember some friends one time, kids, I like the outdoors and I was out most of my childhood out running the fields and I just love the outdoors, still love the outdoors. But I remember I built a fort back in the woods. I grew up on a family farm, and there was a wooded area behind the house, not right behind the house, but on back on the other side of the fields. And I went back there, and I built a fort. You know, I found three trees kind of in a triangle, and I put boards this way and boards this way and built a fort, put a tin roof over top of it, robbed my dad's tin roof, you know, off of it. and I told my friends, come back here, you know. And so they found my little fort, and I showed them. We're going to ask Mom if we can spend the night out here. And so we're spending the night out there, and, you know, we're going to spend the night in the fort. But we had a fire going, and somebody started telling scary stories. You know, everybody's fine. It's dark, you know, outside by this time. It's dark and everybody's fine until somebody starts telling scary stories. And then, I mean, after about three stories, you'd hear something, a noise over in the woods, and you go, ooh, you know. You get spooky. Amen. Well, it's just because we were sitting there talking fear. Fear is contagious. The Bible said so. It said that before they went to war in the book of in the Old Testament, it said, "Who here's afraid?" Deuteronomy, somewhere in Deuteronomy, I don't know the reference right now. And whoever was afraid, they said, "You all go home." And then they said, "Here's the reason why." Because, and I'll paraphrase, you get out there in the battle and you'll get afraid, and then your buddy beside you will get afraid, and that'll spread. Amen. I mean, it's one thing to be in a foxhole whenever bullets are flying over your head. It's another thing to be in a foxhole with bullets flying over your head and your neighbor over here is tripping out. You know, you just want to go, bam, shut up, knock him out, so, because that thing's getting on you. Hallelujah. I got it. I got it. I've been hanging around people that are carriers of it, and I got it. I got it. Really, I got it when I got born again. But I got knowledge of how to get that attitude and mix that spirit of faith with it. Hallelujah. So the people you hang with will affect you. And then whenever you get infected, you can carry it to other people. You can walk in, we've done it, my wife and I have done it, and I'm sure you've done it, walk into atmospheres of, you know, heaviness, fear, you know, unbelief, discouragement or something, and whenever you walk in, you don't carry that with you, and it changes the whole atmosphere. You ever done that? I remember a lady one time, actually before Pastor Debbie and I got married, this lady was Pastor Debbie's roommate, my wife, Pastor Debbie, it was her roommate in Bible school. And she stayed with her until we got married. And we got married, and a couple years later, this lady was diagnosed with cancer. And she's in the hospital, and she's in a weakened condition, and she's going down, down, down. And so we found out about it, and we went to visit her. And, you know, when we got there, the whole room, I mean, I don't know where she found these Job's comforters. I don't know where she found these people. But the room was full of people crying. Oh, and it's supposed to be Christians going to faith churches. Crying, talking about, you know, oh, it's terrible how you look, you know, and all that. And when we came in, the blinds on the window were pulled and it was dark in there. And everybody's sort of kind of reverent. You know, I don't reverence the devil. But it was thick. He was thick in that room. Just unbelief was thick. Discouragement, heaviness was thick. And I saw that, and I said, I just looked at my wife and I said, "We got to change this if we're going to help her." So we walked in there, and there was some people from her church, and there was some family there. I don't remember, about eight people, if I remember right. We walked in there, and we lifted our voice, because they're all reverent to the devil and reverent to cancer.
Come on.
I'm not reverent to the devil or cancer.
Yeah.
We walked in, lifted up our voice, said, "Good to see you. How are you?" We're talking loud, you know. And I walked over and I pulled the drapes and it's sunshiny outside. I said, "Man, I'm telling you what, you got some color in your face. Look at you." And I'm encouraging her. And boy, the Job's comforters, you could see I think I know what happened remember Caleb and Joshua, they said, "We're well able," because all the rest of them said, "We can't." And they bade stone them with stones. I felt that murderous spirit before. I mean, those people in that room, and they just one by one, they just sort of scowled and walked out. I thought, good riddance. You're in here killing her. What killed her? Unbelief. Oh, I thought it was cancer. No, it was you. Well, don't make me preach that too hard. We used to tell them in healing school. He ministered there in healing school for a number of years. We used to tell them, don't go home and let your relatives kill you. And I'd say it that way on purpose to make them go, "What? What'd you say?" But I'd say, "No, what I'm talking about is the reason you're getting results here in healing school is because of the people around you. They're full of faith. And that's all that is allowed to be spoken here. So you're going to have to guard the atmosphere when you go back home." Because it's not the disease that kills you, it's the unbelief that kills you. Just telling it like it is. I used to try to be real political about it, and it don't work, so I just tell it like it is now. But we pulled those drapes, and we were encouraging her, and we said, you know, thank God for the Word. You know, we started talking the Word, because she had the Word in her. I'm talking about this lady back in Tulsa now, where it used to be my wife's roommate. She had the Word in her. She had sat under the Word for, at that time, probably 15 years. And really was a fireball, and shared, got people saved all the time, just a fireball before this thing hit her, and she let all of her comforters come in. But anyway, so we encouraged her, and we started, you ever seen a fire kind of burn down, and you stoke it a little bit and put some more fuel on it and stir it up? We started stirring up that fire that was on the inside of her. We started speaking faith, speaking the Word. And while we're talking, because she had been laying back, she was chewing some ice and had, what do you call that, upper nose, oxygen. And she had been laying back. And while we're talking to her, she sort of picked up her head and she's looking at us and she started smiling because that's starting to rise up on the inside of her. And she started smiling. And the more we talked, the more she actually got the point, she sat up. And then she threw her legs off the side of the bed, sitting there listening to us. And we kept talking to her and kept talking to her. And she said, grab my arm, I'm getting up. She said, I've been in this bed. And we grabbed her arm, she got up, and she got out and started walking around the room a little bit. She actually got out in the hall a little bit and walked down the hall, came back in the room. She sat down on a chair rather than get back in bed. And she said, man, I haven't had this kind of strength. I forget how long at the time, she said. And see, that just instantly started working. Just instantly started working. Hallelujah. And so we kept encouraging her, and eventually we had to go. We said, well, we'll come back and encourage you. Except she started letting these other people back in more. And she started not wanting anybody to come in because she started resigning herself to it. And she actually died. When she could have had divine healing. It was obvious. Amen. Well, praise God. I'll tell you, many of us are just going by faith. That's what's keeping us going. Hallelujah. Hang with people who have a spirit of faith. I'll say it this way. Hang with people that have wet sandals all the time. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus said to Peter, come. And he got out of the boat and walked on that water. We criticize him for going down. Peter, boo, you sank. You know who ought to get the most boo is the guy sitting back in the boat. Playing it safe. Amen. I hang around people that have wet sandals all the time. I mean, they just get out of the boat. That's why I just love getting around Pastor Nancy. I mean, I leave some time of fellowship with her, and I'm like, all right, okay, thank God. I'm going to start getting going now. I'm going to just love the way she keeps her sandals wet. She stays out there on the water. Hallelujah. 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 You know, that's what these materials that some of these faith giants that have gone before have left behind, books and CDs and all that. You can hang around them and catch things from that. There's a spirit of faith on those services. I don't believe that, because people of faith, it will, how much time can I take here? Well, let me just tell the story about Luke 5. Remember, go over to Luke 5. I'm just going to take one break today, if that's all right. Luke chapter 5 is an example of what I'm about to say here. It says, this is the story of the paralytic that was let down through the roof that was healed. It says here in verse 18, they brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the roof, through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, and it says, let's look at what it says here in verse number 20. When he saw, Jesus saw their faith. Say out loud, he saw their faith.
He saw their faith.
What does that mean? Jesus saw their actions and saw their faith in their actions. Them tearing off the roof, that's faith. When he saw their faith, faith is revealed in words and in actions. Faith is of the heart, but you and I can't see the heart unless we have revelation of the Spirit. But what he's talking about is saw their faith. He saw their actions, and their actions revealed their faith. So he saw their faith, and he said to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, and you know the story. Basically, Jesus said, why reason ye these things? I have power not only to forgive sins, but to heal. And verse number 24 at the end, rise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we've seen strange things today. Well, it shouldn't have been strange. It was only in Deuteronomy and Exodus, because they saw forgiveness and healing all in one package deal. I can not only forgive, but heal. They saw that together, forgiveness and healing. Well, we've seen strange things today. It shouldn't have been strange. So it was in Exodus, it was in Deuteronomy, it was in Psalms, it was in Isaiah. It's all through the Old Testament. Amen. But here's what I wanted you to see. Another passage said there were four of these men that helped this man get down through this roof. Isn't that right? They knocked a hole in the roof to get this man down there in Jesus' presence. That's some good friends right there. I mean, everybody needs at least four crazy faith friends. You do. Somebody that won't let you cry and order chicken noodle soup. You know, curl up in the bed and give up. Yeah, you need people that'll kick you in the backside, so to speak, in love. Amen. The Bible said we're to provoke one another to love and good works. There's times you need somebody to provoke you. Yeah. Just make you mad to the point to where you just say, all right, I'll get up and get out. And they took up stones and killed him. Praise the Lord. So, do you have some good faith friends, or are you hanging out with people that are pulling you down? Amen. It's important. Who you hang with is important. They've got a spirit of faith, and these four men had a spirit of faith, and nobody lets you, because, I mean, think about it. Taking a guy on a cot up on a roof, I mean, the chances of rolling off of that cot are high. But something inspired them to do this. And Jesus said what it was. He saw their faith. It was their faith in actions. That's the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Now, come over here to, because I'm going to finish up here about we'd finish up there at, was that 10 o'clock? Does that be all right? All right. Notice it says that David is who Paul was quoting in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. He said, we have the same spirit of faith as David. Now, David, and I'm looking for that reference. That maybe it's, is it Psalm 16? Do you have the reference that Paul's quoting from Psalms when he said, we have the same spirit of faith? It's probably back here in the Psalm. Is it Psalm 16? Psalm 116, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Psalm 116:10. Thank you. I gave you the wrong reference earlier, but you can write that down. Psalm 116:10 is where he's referencing. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. So right in the middle of his affliction, he didn't speak affliction. He spoke what he believed. Amen. Now, David, we know, had the spirit of faith because Paul said so. We see it in his life in a number of situations. And we see it in the fact that he killed Goliath. We just talked about that. But we also see it in the people that got around him were changed. You ever read the story of back in Samuel? You can find it back there. The story of David's mighty men. It's in 2 Samuel. In fact, we'll go back here. Go back there to 2 Samuel now, chapter number 23. One of the ways you can tell that there's a spirit of faith on people is that the people that get around them, their life changes. Because faith will turn you into a different person. Faith will change your family tree. Absolutely. It'll change the history of your family. I'm too scared to go back and look at my natural family tree. I'm afraid I might find it's a nut tree. You know what I'm talking about? Because I know what came against me as a teenager. I know what came against my dad, came against my grandpa. And so I'm not going back and look at my natural tree. I think it's a nut tree. Amen. So I just decided that my lineage, here's my lineage. I'm going to look up my lineage. Ye are of God. Okay, I'm a descendant of God. I'll take that family tree. But see, faith will change your history, your family history. It might have been mental oppression ran in your family, poverty ran in your, I'm talking about your natural family, something ran in your natural family, but you can change it with the spirit of faith. And decide, not here, not in this generation, and not in my children's generation to come. From now on, my family is going to have a different heritage. And it's nothing to do with blood. Well, it is to do with blood, the blood of Jesus. But I mean natural blood. It's nothing to do with DNA. It's nothing to do with anything in the natural. It has to do with the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, when David had this, he had the spirit of faith. The people that got around him, the Bible said that when they first came, they were depressed, discouraged, and in debt. You ever read that? I don't have that reference in front of me. But that's exactly who the Bible said came to David. And when they came to David in that condition, the Bible says he turned them into mighty men. The Bible uses the term David's mighty men. Well, how did he turn these misfits, these, you know, people that couldn't make it in the society they were living in, so they ran, and they're depressed, discouraged, and they're the losers, so to speak. How did David turn a bunch of losers into the mightiest fighting force that Israel ever saw? Well, look at some of these guys. Here in chapter number 23 of 2 Samuel, it talks about some of them. How did he do that? He imparted that spirit of faith to them. He didn't sit them down and give them a natural education, although there's nothing wrong with that. But you can have a natural education and all of that and still be a great big loser. So David imparted something to these guys. David, the ones that stayed the closest, got the most. And the Bible here in the margin of my Bible calls them David's mighty men. Verse 8 even calls them that. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. But if you go back, I don't know, Brother Graves, if you know where that is. It says they came depressed, discouraged, and in debt. That's in there in earlier. Where is it? 1 Samuel 22, 1, did you say? Yes. So you can write that down. That's who came to him. And they were not mighty men when they came. But he turned them into this mighty army. Let's look at a couple of them here. It's verse number 8. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, it says the same was Adino. Boy, there's a lot of names here. It's hard to pronounce. The Asnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. That's not natural. That's supernatural. He's tapping into the power of God there. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Well, I'm glad I'm not the son of Dodo. The Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, When they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. In other words, they're all sitting back waiting, and he went out and defeated them all, and then they went and got the spoil. Just one man. After him was Shammah. Now, Shammah's my buddy. I want to meet Shammah when I get to heaven. Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. Lentils means beans or peas or something. That know their God will be strong and do exploits. How did they do the exploits? They did it through the spirit of faith. So, let's think about this. This man, I like Shammah. Shammah's my buddy. I'm going to meet him when I get to heaven. He's going to want to meet me because I'm preaching about him all the time. Shammah, now here's something. This is a field of beans. Most people won't, give their lives or put their life in danger, you might say, for a field of beans. Now, they'll do it for their family, you know, their wife, their kids, some situation like that. But for a field of beans? No, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm going to live another day. Isn't that right? But this guy had another spirit about him. This guy's defended a field of beans, even though he's the only one out there. And he's called a mighty man of valor because of it. Now, I'll tell you what, he wasn't just mighty in battle, but he's mighty in faith. Because that takes faith. So he stood in the middle of that. And this guy's thinking was, because a lot of people would think, just a field of beans. I won't get beans this year, and they'll just live another day. But this guy, his thinking was because he had a spirit of faith. How many of you know when you have a spirit of faith, you think different than everybody else? Because he had a spirit of faith, he said, I'm not letting the enemy have one bean. I'm not letting him have one bean. People that have a spirit of faith, they're not going to back up just for one little thing. Because here's what they know. People that have a spirit of faith know, if I back up to let the devil have one bean, then the next thing he's going to come for is my taco. Amen. Isn't that right? You're going to come for your enchilada or, you give him a bean, he's going to come for something else. And then he's going to come after you give him your taco or enchilada, he's going to come after your whole Mexican dinner. You know what I'm talking about. He'll come he'll come after your Mexican restaurant. And then he'll come after your Mexican wife and your Mexican kids. Because if the devil starts stealing and you start backing up, he'll keep pushing. So this guy, whenever the devil came for one of his beans, he said, no, I'm not backing up because if I back up, you'll get my whole bean field and you'll get my harvest this year, and then you'll come for my house and you'll come for everything I've got. So if I'm going to stand against you, I might as well stand against you all the way up at the edge of my property. That's a man with a spirit of faith. Remember Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Don't let him have one thing. Don't let him have an inch. You give him an inch, he'll take a foot. You give him a foot, he'll take a yard. You give him a yard, he'll take a mile. He comes to steal everything you have, but you just can't let him back you up like that. Because if you don't stand against him in your faith, he's got nothing to stand against. That nothing opposing him. Bible said in First Peter, whom resist steadfast in your faith. So you need to put up some faith to resist him. You know the devil's really not just after your beans. Those that have caught a spirit of faith, they know that. They know that really what he's after is their faith. And I'm not giving you my faith. I'm not letting you have my faith. Amen. And I'm not gonna let you have it, and so therefore I'm not gonna let you have anything that belongs to me, anything that faith got me. I start letting you steal what faith got me, and you're robbing me, and not only what faith got me, you're robbing me of my faith. And I'm not letting you have my faith. Amen. So you stand your ground. The people that have a spirit of faith, they stand their ground. They know that faith is not just, faith is this much more valuable than the beans. This isn't about beans. This is about backing me out of faith. And my faith, the Bible said, cast not away therefore your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. Oh, it's a big payoff if you don't give up your faith. It's not about beans. It's about giving up what gives you all. Hallelujah. It's about what supplies you with the beans. It's about what got you the beans. It's about not only letting him have your beans, but anything else he's coming from. Spirit of faith says, I'm not giving you one bean because you'll rob me of the opportunity to develop my faith. See, to back up out of things that faith got you is to back out of the development of your faith. And my faith developing is too valuable to start backing out of. You understand what that means? You understand what I'm talking about? That faith that if I keep developing, that will eventually bring me fields. If I'll use faith to keep a bean, you know what I mean? It'll eventually give me bean fields. Something that produces beans over and over again. Other people probably backed out of their field of beans saying, well, I guess I won't get beans this year. But see, Shammah said, wait a minute, this is not just about my bean crop this year. This is about somebody taking over my field that will give me beans not only this year, but next year and the year after and the year after and the year after. I'm not backing out of what will continue to produce for me. Amen. It'll bring me beans over and over again. So the faith doesn't back out of things and let the devil steal things that God gave you. That's the attitude that the spirit of faith has. Amen. So his friends thought, just beans. But this guy said, no, I'm not going to let the devil have what's growing out there now or whatever that will produce in the years to come. I'm not going to let him have it. Hallelujah. How many of you know the devil's just not after your car or after, your paycheck or something like that? He's after your land. And what I mean by that, when I say after your land, I'm talking about something that, see, the beans represent your prosperity. The land, listen to me very carefully, represents the power to produce beans or wealth over and over again. Did you get that? Shammah thought, no, this isn't just about beans. This is about my land. And that land will produce wealth over and over again. In other words, whenever the devil comes for your prosperity or paycheck or, stealing, killing, destroying, he's not just coming for that. He's coming to get you to back out of faith that gives you the power to get wealth. Amen. Deuteronomy 8:18. He's trying to back you out of that power working for you. Amen. And if you don't have a spirit of faith to protect your present prosperity, that one pot of beans, if you don't have your faith to do that, that lack of faith will shut down what you could have had next year and the year after that. Amen. And the year after that and the rest of your life. Am I making any sense? If you don't use your faith for the needs being right there, right in front of you, then you won't develop faith to get fields that produces wealth over and over again. Amen. Over and over again. In other words, there's more connected to you using your faith right now for that one pot of beans, if I could say that. There's more connected to that than you just having one pot of beans on your table. This faith that you are developing will eventually produce a life rich with fields producing prosperity over and over again. We live by faith. Satan's not after just your beans, he's after what's producing it. I'm talking about your faith. I'm talking about your spirit of faith. He wants you to back out of that. which will produce for you over and over again. So God has more in mind for you than just faith getting a pot of beans on your table. He has more in mind for you than just a bigger paycheck or more blessings of God. He has that in mind for you, but what I mean is he wants you to be sustained for the rest of your life by this spirit of faith that you're learning to exercise and have prosperity for a whole lifetime. Hallelujah. Praise God. He has lifelong life, producing faith in mind for you. In other words, see the exercise of you getting a pot of beans right now, the exercise of that faith right where you are as a means of developing faith for a life of wealth. Yeah, those beans might not produce wealth, but you exercising faith right there on that pot of beans, that faith will bring you wealth. That faith will bring you into the increase. Hallelujah. So what you're doing is you're developing not just bean faith, you're developing field faith. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's what the spirit of faith did to Shammah. It made him say, I'm not backing out of what's producing for me. Faith, my faith has brought me out of nothing financially and is producing it literally right now in the last few years, producing some great wealth. And it's my faith. You're not coming for what's producing that. You can come for it, but you're not going to get it. You can tell me all that's done away with. You can tell me whatever you want. Not that you here would, but I'm just defying the enemy. You're not taking from me. I'm not casting away my confidence. It's gotten me everything I'm walking in. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, this is true about giving tithes and offerings. The devil can put the squeeze on you, and I'm going to give you a break here. I'm finishing up. But the devil can put the squeeze on you and tell you, well, you can't afford to tithe this week. Do you know that whenever you respond to that and back out of that one week, the next week it's going to be doubly hard? You ever found that out? Why? Because he's not trying to rob the church of the tithe, although he is, but I'm simply saying he's trying to rob you of the faith to tithe. That's what he's after. Isn't that right? He'll say, you can't afford. Then he'll say, you can't tithe this month at all. Then the next month he'll say, well, you can't do it now either. And the same thing's true with tithes, same thing's true with offerings. My wife and I have a commitment in every offering that we are that we're in. We have a minimum amount that we give. We've increased it over the years. And sometimes, you know, that doesn't look like a good idea if you look at the bank balance. And but see, he'll try to get you to back out of that. Well, you can just give, you know, half that much or just a little bit, you know. But you start backing out of it, and he'll continue to back you out of it. You can't let him do that. When you feel that squeeze, don't give him an inch. Amen. Shout the word at him. Stand in the middle of your bean patch and say, you're not getting my tithe. You're not getting my faith. You're not getting me to back up. Because how many of you know you flunk on one level and all of a sudden you're going back to a lower level? I'm not backing up for the devil or for anything he brings against me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, I'm glad I came this morning. Stand up and give God a shout this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for that fire rising up on the inside of some here this morning that were backing up. And this morning they now charge forward with a spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I perceive in my spirit somebody made some adjustments on the inside this morning. And you just decided, no, I'm not backing up. Hallelujah. Your life has changed because of that one decision right there. Amen. We'll see you in 10 minutes. How about 15 after or just a little before 15 after, if that clock's right. All right. We'll see you in a few minutes.